You know, we're living in a time where everything in the world is being preached. And there isn't but one gospel. And I want to say this before I begin the message. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul said that, I marvel at you so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Then he goes on and talks about those that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. I find out a whole lot of people don't think that there's a difference between what's being preached today. A lot of Baptist churches are swapping pulpits with denominational churches and all of this. But the Apostle Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any of the gospel unto you, then what we have preached, that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And then he goes on, and we said before, so swear I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and we see the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that, I'm not going to preach the whole thing here, but I want you to notice in verse 33, when they were come to the place that's called Calvary, where they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left, two thieves on the cross. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? For we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth, the ninth hour, until the ninth hour. The sun was dark, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. I want to preach on a message today, and do you ever stop to wonder why that the Lord would save a man just before he died? He waited. He could have saved him any time he wanted to, but he waited until he was on the cross. And he only saved one. He said in John chapter 12, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all unto me. Men's not there. I'll draw all of my people. Amen. And we see Christ being lifted up right here. Yes. Lifted up on the cross. He was dying. And we want to take a look at the thief on the cross today and what was manifested right there at the cross. What can we see when God saved that thief? We say, we know he saved him. We know he trusted him as Savior. Yeah, that's true. But I want to look a little bit deeper into this thing. If there was a sinner to eternity, it would be right here. Everything looked forward to Jesus Christ. Everything looks back to Jesus Christ. And everybody, when we're in the presence of God, will give glory for Him who died for us. It's the center of eternity. This is what it's all about. People in the Old Testament were saved just like the people in the New Testament. And the Lord put the thief on the cross there to show us and stop every mouth that would preach any other gospel than Christ and Him crucified. Now, I want you to think. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And He would save every sinner that would call upon Him. Now let's look at this thing and some things that are not stated here, but we know were present.
Yes.
Now there are a few things that are stated, and we'll get those first in Romans chapter 1. We see in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that's exactly, this is His death. I'm talking about His death. I'm not talking about His burial, resurrection. That's part of the gospel. It has to be. But I'm talking about His death. First of all, we can look there and see that it's the power of God was manifested that day.
Amen.
Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
Amen.
Friend, that Jesus Christ's death was manifested to that thief, and it took the power of God to do it.
Amen.
So we see the power of God was manifested there at the cross. They all they had him nailed on a tree, you know, and he was dying. But the weakness of God is stronger than man, and the power of God saved that man eternally.
Yes, sir.
Now we're looking at some other things. First, the next thing it says here, that the righteousness of God is revealed there in verse 17. We look at the cross of Jesus Christ, Him on the cross, and we can see God's only way of saving a man from his sins.
Amen.
It took a perfect man who had no sin to take their sins upon himself and forgive them and justify them from all things.
Amen.
So we see the righteousness of God was revealed that day. That's two things we see right here in our text. I wonder if ever preachers is all shook up as much as I get shook up. Brother Keener, do you get that way? You don't look like you do. I'll talk to you after service. Now let's look at some things that you can't see, but that we know that were there. First thing that I'd say is that God foreknew him before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ didn't save him by accident. He foreknew him before the foundation of the world. He predestinated him before the foundation of the world. There was an effectual call there. You don't see it, but it was there. You wonder why he said, Lord. I'll tell you why he said, Lord, because God called him. And when he calls, they come. And he justified him right there on the cross. But you know why he justified him? Because the only reason he could justify him? Because he was just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. God could not justify him except Jesus Christ was dying in his place. And he promised him, said, now you're going to be with me when you die. You're going to be with me in paradise. Now you may disagree with me on that, but I don't believe anybody went into the presence of God until the veil of the temple was rent in twain and God opened up the way into glory. Then it had to be done. You're talking about responsibility Christ had. He took the sins of all of his people there and died and suffered. He hadn't done the job, that veil wouldn't have rent, and we could not have went into glory. this thief. Well, I'll say one thing about that. That's the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. The wind blows where it will, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Don't know where it comes, where it goes. And I'll tell you what the wind was blowing that day. The Holy Spirit of God blowed upon that one person, and that's the only one he blowed upon. The sovereignty of God was manifested right there. This thief was chosen of God. If you had access to the Lamb's Book of Life, you'd find his name written there before the foundation of the world. Now, I see these preachers saying, if you'll trust the Lord, he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's too late.
Amen.
Our names, those of us that are saved, were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever began.
Amen.
God is carrying out his eternal purpose. So this thief was chosen of God. And I know we don't see that, but he was chosen of God. There wasn't any way that that thief was going to die without being saved. I'm just talking about some things that you can't see when over there. Ask yourself the question, why was one saved and the other wasn't saved? There's no man that seeketh after God. There's nobody who understands. They've all gone to their own way. And it proved it on the cross. They were both thieves. They were both dying. And God saved one, didn't save the other. The only answer to that is it was God. But God. Well, John 17 and verse 2. I don't have anything marked and so you'll get to them as quick as I can. John 17 and verse 2. And I'm using a different Bible. 17 verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And there was only one there that God gave him. You want to see the sovereignty of God? There it is. Jesus Christ could not have given that other thief eternal life. Because he came to do the will of God, it was God's will to give him life and not the other one. How to serve a God does what he pleases. And we don't argue with him. We just accept what he says. John 10, verse 14. John 10, verse 14. I have trouble because my fingers are numb now. John 10 and verse 14 and 15. I'm a good shepherd, and I know my sheep. Sure he knew about the thief and everything, but he said, I know my sheep. And I'm known of mine. And that's exactly what happened at the cross. Then he began to know the Lord Jesus. Lord, remember me. It's all by the grace of God. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for what? The sheep. I know my sheep. I lay my life down for the thief on the cross, and he's going to be saved. He's going to be justified. Why? All because God's sovereign will declared it to be so. Now, not preaching on going. I agree with that exactly. Because he's commissioned to us the responsibility to go. I'm talking about what we can see at the cross that nobody can ever see. I'll tell you what, this will, if people can see this, if they could see this, they'll understand that you don't add any works or anything else to salvation. God, let it be made known, a complete salvation that was accomplished on the cross of Calvary without all this other stuff. Secondly, the love of God was manifested that day. God loves his people, doesn't he? Bible says he does. Paul said he loved me. Paul said he loved me and gave himself for me. Well, that's exactly what that thief came to the conclusion of, that he loved me and he's giving himself for me. I don't know why I'm getting so dry, but I guess I am. 1 John 4:10 says, not that we love God. That man didn't love God. But then he loved us, gave himself a propitiation for our sin. And for the first time in his life, he realized that man dying right there loves me. Love is of God. He that loveth knoweth God. He's been born of God. This man's been born of God.
Amen.
Yes, he was. Then, as we look at the cross, we see two men that are dying, thieves, on one side, one on the other. And God showed mercy to one and didn't show mercy to the other. Look in Romans chapter 9. These things cannot be seen with the natural eye, but they were still true. Anyway, in verse 14, you've been talking about election. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God because God loved one, didn't love another? Is God unrighteous? Was God unrighteous when he saved one thief and didn't save the other? Both of them deserve what they got. And yet one of them was saved. And we're going to live with him. He says, I'm my brother. Lord, why did you do that? He said unto Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. If I want to be merciful to one and not merciful to the other, that's my business. So then it is not of him that willeth. That thief was saved because God willed it to be so. Nor of him that runneth, he didn't have a thing he could do. But of God that showeth mercy. And that's exactly how you were saved. And that's exactly how the Old Testament saints were saved. None of them deserve it. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not a one of us deserved to be saved. Not a one of us had any ability whatsoever to come to Christ. We would have went away from Him. We would have died and went to hell. Had it not been for Him who died on the cross. Somebody lifted Him up, didn't they? All the Jews did that. The Roman soldiers lifted Him up. Don't make no difference who lifted Him up. As long as He's lifted up. That's why people can be saved in other denominations. Somebody put Him on the cross. You better watch out now. God will use that. It's the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Well, so the mercy of God was manifested that day. And then not only the wrath of God, but the justice of God was manifested that day. God is just. He could not have saved that thief unless he had have died for that thief. People have the idea, well, you can just get saved, don't make no difference for Christ, don't make no difference. Listen, friend, he don't save anybody that he didn't die for. And if he died for the person, he's going to save them. Now, I made this statement several times in Revelation chapter 20. When you get into the great white throne of judgment, the Bible says that books were open and another book was open, which is the book of life. And every person that their name was written in the Lamb's book of life was never cast into hell because Jesus Christ died for their sins. And the books were opened, and all the lost were judged according to their works. Every work that they had ever done was sin. See, I don't believe that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if your work don't please God, it's sin. absolute justice of God. He suffered for my sin. He suffered for that man's sin. Jesus Christ suffered for that. Did he have any reason to do that except by grace, because of love for him? Wasn't any reason in the thief. He was a thief. He was dying. Deserved to die physically and deserved to die eternally. Now, the Lord didn't stop him from dying physically. But he told him, he says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I almost preached on death today, and I'm going to get that out of my mind so I won't keep on doing it. Death. First death happened in Eden, and the second death happened when he sent him into hell. Take what I'm saying now. Physical death is not a death. It's only a separation of who the man is and the body. But all physical death is not the end. One man goes to heaven, one goes to hell. They're still alive. God is not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. Friend, there's a first death, there's a second death, and all in between. It's just a matter of separation. You go to one place or another. And we think about physical death, friend. That's all the world's thinking about. That's all they're thinking about down in New Orleans. Well, look at the bodies. You have a word, did the soul go? That's the death. Got that all up. Quit thinking about that thing. Think with me. I guess, I don't know whether I'm getting this over or not, but there are things here that when you look at Christ on the cross, it eliminates an awful lot of things that are being preached as the gospel. First of all, that salvation that he had, I've said it before, I'll say it again, was not deserved. If he's going to be saved, he's going to have to be saved by grace, unmerited favor. Secondly, that salvation that the thief obtained that day was not of works of any kind. He was helpless and couldn't do one thing. God put it there for that reason, to show us that you can't do nothing in order to save yourself. So, yeah, but that was different. That wasn't different. Every child that's ever been saved has been saved just like the thief. You've been helpless, and God's the one saved you. Wasn't any works whatsoever. Add one work to it, it's no longer grace. And then it shows us that the man couldn't be baptized. He was on the cross. And that in itself shows you that people are teaching salvation through water baptism, they're preaching another gospel. Amen. Well, that's what they're doing. That salvation was by faith in Jesus Christ only. Repentance toward God of personal faith in Jesus Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You say, well, that thief didn't believe that we raised from the dead. Remember when you come into thy kingdom. Here's a man dying. He said, you got a kingdom. You know what he believed? Said if Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Christ is the anointed one, prophet, priest, and king. You believe Jesus Christ, that thief believed in the Christ? He believed him as a prophet because he believed his word, did he not? He was that great prophet coming, he believed his word. Not only that, he believed he was a priest. He not only was the priest interceding in his behalf, he was sacrificing himself so that he could be saved. He believed he was a prophet, he believed he was that priest, and he said, you've got a kingdom, and you've got a king. So he believed Jesus was the Christ, right on the cross. Boy, there's some things in here. And here's a man that's reviling the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. There he was hanging there, just fussing and arguing, whatever he's doing, reviling him. All at once. He said, the other malefactor rebuked him, said, dost not thou fear God? To fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't fear God, you're not going to get saved. You know that? What made the change there? He was born. How long did it take him to get that knowledge? He was on the cross. It didn't take him very long, because immediately he began to have a change of mind, did he not? Immediately. He said, now we're supposed to get in the water before you get to the blood. Well, he didn't have any chance. No, he was saved the very minute that he repented toward God, put his faith in Christ Jesus. Well, these things are, you all know these things. But in Isaiah chapter 55, it says, hear and your soul shall live. Is that what it says? Hear and your soul shall live. John chapter 5, verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Same thing that Isaiah preached, same thing that John preached. Hear and your soul shall live. Let me tell you something. If you're here lost today, and if God opens your heart to where you have a hearing ear, friend, you are on your way. Because you have just been made alive. You hear not because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear. I know them. They follow me. They have the hearing ear. I'm not talking about your literal ears. I'm talking about the ears of your understanding. So a new birth took place that day. It was not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's because of God's will. It's God's will. Romans 9:16. Not of him that willeth, but him that showeth mercy. Now another thing. This man began to have some understanding nobody else knew. I mean, he didn't understand this all at once. But once, all at once, the Holy Spirit begin to give him an understanding. And the Bible says there that for we receive the due reward, but this man had done nothing amiss, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Man, this man gained an awful lot of knowledge in a very short time. You know who gave him that, don't you? No man knows the things of God save by the Spirit of God which is in him. Now you may disagree with this. I believe the Old Testament saints possess the Holy Spirit of God. Now some people don't believe that. But if any man hath not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. I believe people were saved. I believe that Abel, when he offered up that lamb that day, by faith he offered it up. He understood. He didn't understand all that we know today. He didn't even know the name of his Savior. We know that. But I know one thing he knew. He knew that there was one that would come and die in his place and shed his blood in order that he might be saved. You know why the other thief didn't know? You know why he didn't have any knowledge? You know why he didn't understand what was going on? The Bible says that the devil had blinded his mind to those that believe not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody's mind was blinded that day except that one thief. And God commanded that light to shine out of darkness, shine in his heart, gave him the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why he was saved. Now, what does this do with all this easy believism? You just repeat after me and do this and do this and do that. And some people say, repeat after me, and when you do now, you're all saved. We know better than that. Jesus Christ revealed to this thief who he was. John 10, verse 22. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke 10 and verse 20. And here we got the wrong one. 10. Well, anyway, the one I'm Yeah, chapter 10. I'm right. I'm just got my numbers mixed up here. In verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and the Father who the Father is but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. Jesus Christ revealed himself. And I believe with all my heart when he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, I think he began to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
You see a whole lot of things on the cross that people don't see. He believed with his heart. The Bible says when you do that and believe with all your heart, you'll see. John 3:18, believe upon me is not condemned. Now, when the thief had died, if he had been lost, he had went to hell. But he didn't go there. He went to paradise. I don't know how you believe that, but I believe when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and the veil was rent, I believe he went into paradise, took all those people that were waiting for him to die for their sin, and went and got them and led them captivity captive and took them right into the presence of God, and when they die now, they go right into the presence of God. Then you see the long-suffering of God. I think Jesus Christ knew that thief from the time he was born. He was a thief. He was a thief. He was a bad one. It's like I noticed a fight the other night. I said, I'm a bad man. Well, this was a bad man. And God let him go, and let him go, and let him go, and let him go. Then he got on the cross. And then he said, that's long suffering, isn't it? He should have killed him a long time ago. But he let him go. You know why he let him stay there? So I can reveal all my attributes. So I can show the world when I'm lifted up that this is God's business of saving a person. Salvation is of the Lord. So you see the salvation or the long suffering of God. And you can see, if you wanted to see, that God was in the flesh. It was God in the flesh. When he died, when the thieves died, nothing happened much, you know. But when he died, the rocks rent. The veil of the temple was rent in flame. Things began to happen when he died. Now, he had proved himself to be the Christ all through his ministry. All the seven miracles of John all proved that he was God in the flesh, manifested his glory. But friend, the greatest thing he could have done that day when he was dying, he told that thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Amen.
But the thief called him Lord too, though, didn't he? One or two other things. The will of God was manifested that day.
Amen.
Luke chapter 6. Jesus Christ said he came to do the will of God, did he not? And Luke in John chapter 6, and reading in verse 39. Let's see if he did it. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing. He wasn't about to lose him, but should raise him up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And so Jesus revealed himself to him, and he believed on him, and gave him everlasting life that day, and one day he's going to be raised up. All by the grace of God. Everything I preach here is by the grace of God. God received from the thief what he saved him for. Now think what I'm saying. He confessed that he was unworthy of anything. We deserve what we get. That's exactly where you have to come to before you're saved. You deserve what you get. Unworthy. He confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that's exactly what you have to do in order to be saved. He confessed that Jesus Christ was King. He had a kingdom. Now, let me say something about the kingdom. Maybe you haven't gotten down in talk about seek ye first the kingdom of God. Friend, it takes a birth to get into the kingdom. And in order to seek the kingdom of God first, you've got to preach the gospel. Because God uses the gospel to perform the means by which they can be saved by the grace of God and enter into the kingdom. So when we're seeking first the kingdom of God, He's talking about seeking people. And preach the gospel to them, and they're born into the kingdom. Baptized into His church. They're not a member of the church just because they've been born again. And this thief believed on Him with all of his heart. And he testified to the fact there that this man had done nothing amiss, and we're the ones that's guilty, and he's dying in my place. And one or two other things is that God was faithful. Jesus Christ showed His faithfulness that day to the things of God. I mean, try to think that here's Jesus Christ dying, here's a thief dying, getting what he deserved, and all at once He was willing to die for this man in order to save him. He was faithful to God. He was faithful to His Word. He did the will of God perfectly. And he did exactly what God told him to do. And yet he did it willingly. God worked a work of grace in his heart. God gave him an understanding that Jesus was the Savior. And that's exactly the place that you have to come to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. And when He becomes your Lord, now listen to me. You call me Lord, Lord. Why don't you do the things that I say? Do you love Him? Do you love Him? If you love me, keep my commandments. So if I'm not going to do it, then you're lack of love. We don't do things in order to be saved. We do things because we love Him. And not a one of us in here love Him like we ought to. Give you one or two little thoughts real quick. In the Christian, we must lose to gain. That don't sound right, does it? You got to be lose to gain. We must give in order to obtain. We must be humble before we are exalted. And we must be least in order to be the greatest. And we must die in order to live.
Amen.
I think what I'm saying. Paul said, I die daily. Mortify your deeds upon this body. Listen to me. This old thing wants to keep doing exactly what it always did. Oh, I have to control myself. When people, I see the devil grab them and they don't know what's going on and they run after it. So the beginning of greatness is to be little. The increase of greatness is to be less than little. And the perfection of grace is to be nothing. That's right. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And when you get to think you're something, friend, that's when you're nothing. So when you think you're nothing, God uses the weak things of this world and they count upon the mighty. I don't know. This is a strange message, I guess. But when you look at the thief on the cross, I hope you'll see more than just him dying on the cross. You'll see God's attributes. Oh, his love, his mercy, his grace, his faithfulness, doing the will of God in complete control. Nobody took his life. When he got it all done, he said, finished. And he bowed his head, gave up the ghost. But that's not the end. That's not the end. And it wasn't the end of him either, because he said, you're going to be with me in paradise. So he went back to glory. He went back up, didn't he? And he's coming back again. Now let me give you one other thing, won't quit. We study in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter and talks about there's the glory of the sun. He gives the light upon the earth. There's the glory of the sun. There's the glory of the moon. It has the glory of reflecting the light of the sun back down on the earth in the darkness. And there's the glory of the stars. Each star has its own glory, right? Differing from one another, it says. Did you ever stop to think that all the people of the world were all different? There's no two of us look alike. Have you ever seen anybody exactly like you? They're all different. Say, how in the world did that happen? God did it. Every star out there, the billion, knows them all by name, they all differ one from another. So shall it be in the resurrection. All of God's children will be different. You'll have your own personality, you want to put it that way. You'll have your own looks, and you'll recognize Abraham. You'll recognize Isaac. You'll recognize Jacob and Paul. We'll all be different in our looks, but friend, we'll all be like Christ.
Amen.
And you'll know everybody. You won't forget nobody's name. And when you get up there, it says, how are you, Paul? Say, what's your name? I'll know as I'm known. Do you understand that? One star differs in glory. We're going to differ when we're glorified. And we're going to be... Brother Tyson, you're going to be you. Not in that body, I hope. But look here, I'm bald-headed. I'd be going, me and Brother Keener be in trouble. I'm going to quit. Okay, fine.